Good morning. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. For those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Dear friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, whatever is going on in the midst of our lives, we wish to see you today. Amen. So when I was a kid, I was probably about 12, and there was this kid named Clayton who lived kitty corner behind us, and then Cameron next door. And I'll never forget this day. And maybe you grew up like this too. Like my mom was home a lot, especially when we weren't in school, and we became kind of the hub. If there was a crisis, people knew they could come to our house, because my mom was always home, and it was just like that. She was always the caretaker of the neighborhood. And Clayton and Cameron could get into some trouble. Anybody else know kids like this? They weren't bad kids. They just got in trouble. And they were shooting arrows in their backyard in the city. And, of course, all of a sudden, they came running to my mom, and it looked like Clayton's eye had been hit with an arrow, because here's what they did. They decided to see what would happen if you shoot an arrow straight up and then look. And when it came down, it looked like it hit him in the eye. And so my mom called 911, of course. And when they arrived and got him cleaned up, I'll never forget the paramedic either. He goes, "Boy, Clayton, Jesus must have been protecting the whites of your eye because it landed right on the bridge of his nose." Now, I was like, "Jesus? He's here?" I'm a very concrete person, and as a kid, I was super concrete, and I was like, "Well, we want to see Jesus. Where was he?" I was not in the back shooting arrows with them that day, but I wish I was, because if Jesus would have shown up, I would have been very excited, because in reality, isn't that what we want? We all wish to see Jesus. That's what we get in our story for today. Jesus has left the house of Mary and Martha, where he raised Lazarus and also had his feet washed by Mary. And he is now in Jerusalem. It's the festival. It's Passover. And Jesus knew that his death was near. When this little random story pops up, some Greeks, or certain Greeks as it's written, they play like a game of telephone with the disciples. They find Philip and say, "We want to see Jesus." And then they say, Philip goes and finds Andrew and says, "Hey, there's some Greeks here and they want to see Jesus." And then together they go find Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, you have some visitors that want to see you. They're Greek." Now, we're not given much background on who these certain Greeks were, but we can speculate. Maybe they were Greek converts who came to the festival. They had converted to Judaism. Maybe they weren't converts. Maybe they were just God-fearing people who respected the Jewish God. They were there. It was Jerusalem, and it was Passover. We're getting ready for it. But maybe They were just on vacation. I mean, people took vacation, right? Maybe they packed up and wanted to see the world. They were traveling through, taking in the local folklore where they heard about Jesus. It's their words that captures the disciples' attention, and ours too. We wish to see Jesus. What I like about this little vignette of a story is it brings it full circle, cradle to cross. You see, they're from the West, and they want to see Jesus. Don't forget how the story starts. Travelers from the East, bearing gifts, who want to find the King, who also want to see Jesus. Maybe these certain Greeks had already heard about Jesus being teacher, master, miracle worker, extremis, healer, or friend, and they wanted to know more. "Sir," they said, "we want to see Jesus." By the time Jesus hears this, the funny thing is he really doesn't respond to them. He just says in his own cryptic message, prediction of death, "The hour has come." Jesus, as you know, predicts his death two more times before this story, to which he says, "The hour has not yet come." So why now? I mean, he's not on the cross yet. Could it be that the earth, that the rest of the world woke up? That the story of Jesus is now seen not just for those who follow the Jewish tradition, but are now for the Gentile, the Greeks. That Jesus' mission, that he will die and be resurrected for all people, has finally come? Are they willing now to put on the lens of Christ? To share that message even further? What does that even mean for us? Christ's death. How do we see the world differently when we think of Jesus first? When we ask the question, "We wish to see Jesus," I mean, I know you've heard it before. Be careful what you wish for. I want to close with two little stories for you. The first one's this. Yesterday we had our first communion training at the Minneapolis campus. And in fact, there were some Minnetonka families there, and one of the families will celebrate First Communion with you next week. But they didn't say this. This was a different kid. I send them on a scavenger hunt, and one of the things I have them do is read a book. It's called Bread, Bread, Bread. And it's about bread all over the world and how it looks different in different places. I mean, did you know that most places in the world eat bread? It might not look like our bread. Sliced bread is really hard to find in most developing countries. But anyway, when they come back, I ask this question. Why do you think Jesus chose bread for Holy Communion? And the answer I get most of the time is, well, bread is available everywhere. But one little girl said this. It's an answer I've never gotten before. She said, "Well, bread can look like skin. White bread and white skin." She goes, "But we eat brown bread. And there's brown skin." You see, it's full circle. We wish to see Jesus comes for all. This fully faithful 7-year-old recognizes the fact of who Christ is willing to die for. For all people, for all skin colors, for the whole world. She put on the lens of Christ to answer that question. And here's the last story. And maybe you have found yourself in this kind of situation. My friend Aaron, this was about 5 years ago, was driving down the road. And he saw somebody snort something and then fall off a bench. He overdosed. People started to gather around, but no one would touch him. Aaron was at the stoplight, and he pulled over, and he immediately started to dial 911, and they put him right in the path of how to do CPR to make sure the airway was open, literally saved this man's life when no one else could do anything. He came into my office one day and said, "Why? Why wouldn't other people step up?" And I said, "Well, have you ever been panicked in a crisis situation before? Have you? Have you ever been in a family situation where you are in tears and you can't even move and somebody else steps in? Or maybe you've been that person." Because I said, "Aaron, that's who you were. You were the one available. You were the one who answered the call to pull the car over, to see through the lens of Jesus, to react in love, to serve one another." And we all don't do that all the time. And that's okay. Because people do step in when we can't. Christ shows up in others, for us, in us. And that is how we see Jesus. Through the bread, through the meal, through the love, through the lens of Christ. We wish to see Jesus. Amen.